Okay, so last week we were exploring two things. We were examining, we were understanding the Malbim's approach to the whole question of why, Yitzchak wants to give the brachot to Esav, right? And his understanding of Yitzchak's motivations is that Yitzchak wants to turn his two sons into a kind of Yisachar Zevulun relationship or a Levi Yisrael relationship, where Esav would play the role of the physical side of the partnership, with Yaakov playing the role of the spiritual side of the relationship, with Esav playing the role of the mediator of Jewish ideas or spiritual ideas to the world, and Yaakov being the source of those ideas, Yaakov being playing the role of Levi and Esav playing the role of Yisrael. Afterwards, what we did was we looked at the Netziv, at the Ha'amek Davar, who talks about why it was that Rivka and Yitzchak did not actually talk about the relationship and why Rivka had no input. And he describes it as sort of set up by God. I often make the, okay, maybe mild, scholarly, nerdy joke that, the Ramban kind of fingers Rivka for the role of who messed up here. Not exactly, but something like that. Rashi seems to put the onus on Yitzchak for giving the brachot to Yaakov, I'm sorry, to Esav, even though he doesn't really deserve them. The psukim seem to be putting the onus on Yaakov for tricking his father, because that's, he's the person who takes the action. The Netziv blames God, right? The Netziv says essentially that this was actually God's plan, and I offered my interpretation of that, that God wants to, that God wants to, wants Yaakov to receive the blessings in this manner so that he will always have to earn the blessings. So he will not take them for granted, that he will know that to justify his actions, he has to always live up to the spiritual side of his, to the spiritual side of his mission. Okay. Can we go on? We're like all back together in the same place. Okay. What that leaves us with is another interesting question. And this is the question that the Malbim answers in a very specific kind of way, which is the question of the Birkat Avraham. What's the deal with the Birkat Avraham, the blessing of Avraham? What was, who was intended to receive that? Who was intended to give that, etc.? Now, to understand what we're talking about here, I'd like to go back to the Psukim, okay, which is Bereshit Chof Zayin, Genesis 27. After Yaakov, sorry, after Yitzchak gives Esav a blessing, not the original blessing, but a blessing of the fat of the land and the dew of the heavens, that Esau will live by his sword, right? Remember, we talked about that last week. The aftermath of that is important for understanding what happens with Birkat Avraham. So let's take a look at Bereishit Chafzayim, Genesis 27, Pasuk Mem Aleph, verse 41. If you find that in your Tanakh or whatever you're using. Okay. And remember, oh, this was another important point. Built into Esav's blessing is the idea that when Yaakov does not live up to the legacy he has received, Esav will be able to throw off his yoke. Remember that? That's Rashi's reading of Pasuk Mem. Pasuk Mem is verse 40. And you will live by your sword. You will serve your brother. This is Yitzchak speaking to Esav. And it will be when he will be in sorrow. That is to say, Rashi says, he will not keep the mitzvot. Ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. You will throw off his yoke from upon your shoulders. Okay. So now we're picking up after that. Everybody have it? Pasuk Mem Aleph, verse 41, chapter 27. Vayistom Esav et Yaakov al haberacha, asher beracho aviv. And Esav hated Yaakov because of the bracha, the blessing that his father had blessed him. Vayomer Esav belibo, and Esav said in his heart, Yikrevu yimei evel avi, the days of my father's mourning will draw near. Va'harga et Yaakov achi, and I will kill Yaakov, my brother. Namely, when my father dies, I'm going to kill Yaakov. And here again, we see two important things. One is that Esav does indeed love his father and does not want to distress his father. And that's why he's willing to wait until Yitzchak dies to kill his brother. But also that Esav hates Yaakov now. It's pretty irrevocable what happens here. I think that's one of the reasons that there's constant repetition throughout these prakim of his older son, his younger son, his brother, her son, his brother. You know, the repetitions of the family relationships are constantly brought to the fore because on top of looking at this as part of a larger historical process of the Jewish place in the world relative to the non-Jewish place in the world, it starts in a family. It starts in a family. And family quarrels are always the most bitter. Pasuk Membet, verse 42, Vayugad Rivka Divrei Esav ben Agadol, and Rivka, it was told to Rivka the words of Esav, her older son. By the way, notice in Pasuk Mem Aleph at verse 41, it says, Vayomer Esav belibo. Esav said in his heart. He doesn't say it out loud. Nonetheless, Rivka knows. It is told to her. Again, either through some prophetic mechanism or she knows what's going on. Batishlach matikra li Yaakov bena katon. Katan, and she sent and called to Yaakov, her younger son. Vatomer elav, and she said to him, Hine Esav achicha mitnachem lecha lo'orgecha. Here Esav, your brother, has changed his mind about you, about to kill you, meaning your brother's planning to kill you. Vata b'ni shma b'koli, and now my son, listen to my voice. V'kum berach lecha el Lavan achi charana, and rise up, flee for yourself to Lavan, my brother, in Charan. V'yashavta imo yamim achadim, and you will live with him for some time, ad asher tashuv chamat achicha, till your brother's anger, till your brother's wrath comes back, meaning recedes. Ad shuv ap achicha mimcha, until your brother's wrath recedes from you, v'shachach et asher asita lo, and you forget that which you did to him, and he forgets that which you did to him, v'shalachti ulkachticha misham, and I will send and I will bring you from there, lama eshkal gam shnechem yom echad, why should I be bereaved of both of you in one day? And here the question is, in what way would she be bereaved of both her sons? There are different commentators who talk about this. What's clear is Rivka doesn't want to lose Esav either. She does favor Yaakov, but Esav is still her son. So some of the commentators understand it as meaning that one will kill the other, right? Yaakov will kill Esav, or Esav will kill Yaakov. But that means she loses both of them, because how can she see the murderer of her other son? Or that she is afraid that they will kill each other, and she will actually lose both her children. So Rivka clearly sees that the blessing of Yitzchak is sufficiently important that she's sort of willing to lob a hand grenade into the middle of the family relationship, even though she knows the fallout is going to be truly, truly terrible. Okay. And then what she does is she goes to Yitzchak. Vatomer Rivka al Yitzchak, and Rivka said to Yitzchak, Katzti b'chayai mipnei benot chet. I am disgusted with my life because of the daughters of Chet, the Chiti wives of Esav. Im lokeach Yaakov isha mibnot Chet, ka'ele mibnot ha'aretz, lama li chayim. If Yaakov takes a wife from the daughters of Chet, like these of the daughters of the land, why should I live? In other words, we don't need any more problematic daughters-in-law. In other words, what is Rivka doing? She is setting in motion what Yitzhak, the conclusion that Yitzhak will draw, that he has to send Yaakov away. So let's take a look now at Perek Chavchet and read the following psukim. Vayikra Yitzhak el Yaakov vayibarech oto. And Yitzhak called to Yaakov and he blessed him. Pay attention to this phrase, and he blessed him. Vayitzavehu, and he commanded him. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Lo tikach isha mibnot Kenan. Do not take a wife from the daughters of Kenan. Kum lech padena aram beta betuel avi imecha. Get up, go to Padan Aram, Mesopotamia, to the house of Betuel, the father of your mother. V'kach lecha misham isha mibnot Lavan achi imecha, and take for yourself from there a wife of the daughters of Lavan, your mother's brother. V'kel shakai yivarech otcha, and Kel Shakai, it's the name of God, will bless you. V'yafrecha, and he will make you fruitful. V'yarbecha, and I'm going to translate this as, and he will make you numerous or great. Vahayita likahal amim, and you will be a congregation of peoples. V'yitei lecha birkat Avraham, and he will give you the blessing of Avraham. Lecha ulizar acha itach, to you and to your seed with you. Lirishtechat eretz mikurecha, asher natan elokim leAvraham. To inherit the land of your sojourning, that the Lord gave to Abraham. And pretty much that's when Yaakov leaves. Okay? Vayishlach Yitzchak et Yaakov, Vayelech Paddan Aram, Yitzchak sent Yaakov, and he goes to Paddan Aram, etc. Okay. Now, I just want to point out two important things here, one of which I think is sort of critical for understanding the Malbim. If you take a look, if I didn't point this out when we did the Malbim, Pasuk, we have three uses here. We have Pasuk Aleph, Yitzchak calls Yaakov, and he blessed him. Now that's the question. What is that blessing? Okay. And then he says, go away, go get yourself a wife. Not here. Get out of town, get a different wife. And then in Pasuk Gimel he says, "V'kel shakai yivarech otach." God will bless you. V'yafrecha v'yirbecha v'yita. Right, and you will be fruitful. You will multiply. You'll be a congregation of peoples. V'yitelecha, and God will give you birkat Avraham, the blessing of Avraham. Not I give you the blessing of Avraham, but God will give you the blessing of Avraham, which is in line with the way the Malbim reads this. So then the question is, what's all this blessing that's going on here? Is the Vayivarech Oto in Pasuk Aleph, and he blessed him, what follows? Is it a separate blessing? All of these are questions that we have to answer. And the other question is, what is the Birkat Avraham? The Malbim understands it, as we saw, as the blessing of being the servant of God, right? Which no human being can bestow, it has to be earned. But how does everybody else understand this? Okay, so that's the question, one of the questions that we have to answer. Conspicuously, there's something big missing from this interchange between Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Yaakov says nothing in this conversation. What's missing? Yitzchak does not say to Yaakov, "So Tatala, what were you doing going behind my back and taking your brother's blessing?" He doesn't say that. Right? He doesn't say, "Was that you who pretended to be Esav?" Doesn't say anything that can be read as a reproach. Conspicuously, there's an absence here that sort of cries out for understanding. Okay, so let's take a look now at the sources that I sent to you. Hold on. Abraham. Okay, you see it? Everybody sees it? It's visible. You can
Can you
hear
make it
me.
bigger?
Everybody can see it? Good. Well, did somebody say something?
Can you make it bigger?
A little bigger. Okay, let's see if we can make it a little bigger. That, oops, too big. No,
That's good. That's very good.
that's a little too big for me. I can't see it. How's that? Better?
Little better, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, so let's take a look at this now together. Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov vayivarech oto. And Yitzchak called Yaakov and he blessed him. Rabbi Abahu amar, Rabbi Abahu said, Lefi shahayu haberachot mefukpakot biyado. Because the blessings were doubtful in Yaakov's hand, meaning Yaakov certainly got the blessing, but does he own the blessing? Right? They're doubtful in his hand. Where were they confirmed in his hand? Where do we know that the blessings he got by this underhanded method become really his? Come here. Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov. Yitzchak calls Yaakov and he blessed him. In other words, there's no reproach. He already said to Esav, Gam Baruch Yehiyeh, whoever it was who came in and took the blessings, may he also be blessed. But here it's clear that Yitzchak does not reproach Yaakov. And he says to him, may God bless you, etc. Amar Rabbi Elazar said, "Ein kiyum haget ela b'chotmav." The fulfillment of a get, a bill of divorcement, only takes place when it is signed. Meaning, you could write a get, but it doesn't have force until it is signed, right? Sheloto, meaning, yeah, you could, again, the analogy is here, right? He could bless him, but where do we get the stempel? Where do we get the certificate of authenticity? Sheloto mal ilule sherima Yaakov ba'aviv lo natal bilchotav. So that you will not say, if Yaakov had not tricked his father, he would not have been able to take his blessings. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk tells us, Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov vayivarech oto. Yitzchak called Yaakov and he blessed him. Amar Rabbi Berechia said, Mashal leben malachim shaya choter l'aviv litol litra achat shel zahav. This may be compared to a prince who was like tricking his father, going behind his father's back, digging out from his father to take a measure of gold. Amalo, his father said to him, Lama mipatmoniot? Why in a hidden way? Bol vitol lecha bifaresya. Come and take the gold openly, publicly. Meaning, Yitzchak calling Yaakov and telling him, and I bless you, right? And he blessed him, is saying, yeah, you came, you stole the blessings. I'm giving them to you. You didn't steal them. Okay. Then in Pasuk Dalet, when it says, V'yitein lecha et birkat Abraham, lecha ulezarecha itach, and he will give to you the blessing of Abraham for you and your seed after you, lirishtechat eretz migurecha, to inherit the land of your sojourning, asher natan elokim la'Abraham, that God gave to Abraham, et birkat Abraham, what is birkat Abraham? What is the blessing of Abraham? She'amar lo ve'escha legoy gadol, I will make you a great nation, v'hitbarchu bezaracha, and the families of the world will be blessed in you. In other words, for Rashi, Birkat Avraham goes back to Bereshit Yudbet. Take a look, ladies and gentlemen. For Rashi, the bracha of Abraham is the bracha that God gives to Abraham as soon as he tells him, Lech Lecha, as soon as he tells him to go to Eretz Yisrael, Perek Yudbet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, and Hashem said to Abraham, Lech Lecha me'altzecha u'mimoladetecha u'mibeit avicha, go you to from your land and your birthplace and your father's house to El Ha'aretz Asher Al'eka, to the land that I will show you. Here's the blessing. Ve'escha legoy gadol, and I will make you a great nation. Va'avarechecha, and I will bless you. Va'agadla shmecha, and I will make your name great. Ve'ye bracha, and you will be a blessing. Va'avarcha mevarachecha, and I will bless those who bless you. Umekalelcha a'o, and those who curse you I will curse. Venivrechu vecha kol mishpachot ha'adama, and all of the families of the earth will be blessed in you. So when God says to Abraham in Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Bet, I will make you a great nation, and everyone will be blessed through you, that's the Birkat Abraham that is being referred to. Yihyu otan brachot amurot bishvilcha. Those blessings, that I will make you a great nation, that you'll be a source of blessing, that all the nations of the world will be blessed through you, those blessings will be said for your sake. Mimcha yetze oto hagoy, from you will come that nation, voto hazera mevorach, and that blessed seed. Meaning, Birkat Avraham essentially means, as Rashi understands it, the bracha of being God's people. The bracha of being, the blessing of being the nation that will be the source of blessing to the world. We forget about that sometimes. We forget that that's who we are, and we forget that even the rest of the world doesn't know, we should know. We are the source of blessing for the world. That's Birkat Avraham. To be the people who will fulfill the mission that Abraham took upon himself to be the servant of God and bring God's name to the world. Nobody said we would get a big fat thank you about that, but that's Birkat Avraham, okay? The Sfarno says something else. V'kel Shakai yivarech otcha, and Kel Shakai is another name of God, will bless you. B'mamon, he will bless you with money, meaning you will have wealth. V'yafrecha, and he will make you fruitful. B'vanim, with children, you'll have a lot of children. Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael after his stay with Laban, a very wealthy man with 12 sons. Okay, v'yarbecha, and he will make you great. B'ma'ala, in status. So this blessing here, V'kel Shakai Varech Otcha, as the Sfarno understands it, The blessing is wealth, fruitfulness, and status. What's Birkat Avraham? V'yitein lecha et Birkat Avraham, and he will give you the blessing of Abraham, ke'omro, as it says, back in Bereshit Yud Bet, which Rashi quotes, ve'ye beracha, and you will be a blessing. But he elaborates this a little bit more. You will be a blessing. V'ze bilomdo da'at et ha'am, and this will be in his teaching the people knowledge. Uvaze tiye birkat ha'kel yitbarach lecha ulezaracha itcha lerishtecha. And this will be the blessing of the Lord. May he be blessed to you and to your seed with you lerishtecha, to inherit Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the reason we inherit Eretz Yisrael is because we teach knowledge, the knowledge of God, obviously. Ki kesheyeh gam hazera more tzedek, because when also Yaakov's seed will teach justice, yihyeh ra'ui lirash, then it will be worthy to inherit. V'yeh bazeh kiddush Hashem lo hafacho, and there will be in this a sanctification of God's name and not the opposite. Ki'inyan, as it says in Yeshayahu, Yisrael asher becha etpael. Yisrael, God is speaking to the Jewish people, Yisrael, that in you I take pride. Ki bazeh yismach Hashem b'masav. You should look up the pasuk. We're not going to stop now and do it, but you should look up the pasuk, because in this God will rejoice in his deeds, in his creations. So, the giving of the blessing of Abraham is connected to the fact that the Jewish people is a blessing to the world in teaching them tzedek, in teaching them justice, righteousness, fear of God, etc. Then they deserve to inherit the land, and in this there is a sanctification of God's name rather than a desecration of God's name, and in this God takes pride and he rejoices. What will they inherit? Eretz Megurecha, the land of your sojourning. Eretz Kenan she'ata dar ba'achshav, Eretz Kenan, that you dwell in now. Now, Eretz Megurecha, the King James translates it as sojourning. Lagur means to be a temporary resident or a stranger, right? With Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, even in the case of Yitzchak, who never leaves Eretz Yisrael, their hold on the land of Israel is tenuous. It is the hold of the sojourner, not of the resident who owns the land, the person who possesses the land. The Brit Ben Haptarim, the promises made that the land will belong to the Jewish people, Yitzchak is saying to him is, right now this is the land of your sojourning, but it will be the land that you will inherit. Okay. Now what we're going to do, let me just see if there are any questions here for a second. Any questions before we go on? We're good? Okay, so let's go back. And we're going to look at the Al-Shechir. You will see very quickly why I chose this piece of the Al-Sheikh. I've excerpted from a very, very large discussion of the subject, in which I'm starting where he summarizes what he has said up until now. Otherwise, we'd have to read a lot of pages. So we're going to start here. Achine katzavnu lemala ki shnei minei barachotein. The Al-Sheikh says, but we have written above that there are two types of blessings. What are the two types of blessings? Yesh brachot birkot tovot olam hazeh. There are the blessings of the good of this world. V'yesh ruchaniot shel olam haba. And then there are blessings that are spiritual of the world to come. This is a theme in the Al-Sheikh in a lot of places. Sort of the divide between this world and the world to come. katavnu, and we have written. The blessings of this world are fitting for Esav. Mishel Olam Haba liYaakov, and the blessings of Olam Haba are fitting for Yaakov. Gam katavnu sheshel Olam Hazeh meforeshet baTorah. We have also written that the blessings of this world are explicit in the Torah. Mishel Olam Haba v'remez bilvad. And those of the world to come are alluded to only. In other words, sort of alluded to obliquely, they are not explicit in the Torah. The Ramban talks about this also. For example, we know that in the Torah, there's no mention of Olam Haba. There's no mention of Malachim. There's no direct mention of all sorts of spiritual realities, which are in Torah Sheba'al Peh, but are not written about in Torah Shebichtav. So the blessings of Olam Haba are not explicit. They're only hinted at. Ki medubar al omro, as was spoken about what Yitzchak says, gam baruch yihyeh. After Yitzchak says to Esav, who was that who took your blessings? May he also be blessed. The Alshech says, that alludes to the spiritual blessings. V'katavnu gam ke, and we also wrote, Merazal, from Chazal, Shekisheberach Yitzchak et Yaakov habaracha b'choshfo shaya Esav, that when Yitzchak gave Yaakov the blessing that he gave him, thinking he was Esav, haya'atid levarech et Yaakov od bracha acheret, in the future, he would have given, or he was going to give Yaakov, yet another bracha. In other words, the Alshich's reading, the Alshich's understanding, the blessing that Yitzchak gives to Esav does not preclude the idea that he intended to give Yaakov a different blessing later. Okay? V'katavnu, and we wrote there, ki ein safek shehi shel tovot ha'olam haba. That there is no doubt that the blessings that Yitzchak intended to give Yaakov are of the goodness of the olam, of olam haba, of the world to come. You see why I'm bringing this. He's basically summarizing material that he describes at greater length. V'zei Yitzchakein, and it seems reasonable or likely, shehi asher berach oto po ba'aflido oto mimenu. And this is what he blessed, this is what Yitzchak blessed Yaakov when he was parting him from himself, meaning when he was sending him away, when he was parting from him. V'zehu vayivarech oto velo perash. And that's what it says. That's what it means when it says, and he blessed him, and it doesn't explain. Let's go back to that pasuk, because in all of the sources that I've looked at, the Alshich gives, I think, the clearest explanation for the repetition that we see in Perek Chaf Zayin Chaf Chet. So let's go back to chapter 28. Pasuk Aleph, right? Perchavchet Pasuk Aleph, chapter 28:1. Vayikra Yitzchak, everybody have it? Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov vayivarech oto. And Yitzchak called Yaakov and he blessed him. We're not told what the blessing was. We are not told the explicit meaning of that blessing. The Alshich says, those were the blessings of Olam Haba, of the world to come, and the text doesn't spell that out, doesn't make it explicit. Why? Ki haruchaniyut shel Olam Haba, because the spirituality of the world to come, lo titparesh b'Torah beferush, kanoda, will not be spelled out in the Torah explicitly, as is known. V'lachein amara kimamtik sod beino leveino. And therefore, the text says it as though Yitzchak was sharing a secret between himself and Yaakov. V'zehu, and that is what it means when it says, "Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov." Yitzchak called Yaakov, "Shekira'o yiyeh levado." His calling was that he should be there alone, ito, with him. Va'az va'yitzavehu v'chule, and then he commanded him, and he told him all sorts of things. Okay. What he tells him is, if we go back to that pasuk again, the first pasuk of Perek Chafchet, Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov vayibarech to, Yitzchak called Yaakov and blessed him with the blessing that is not spelled out, that is the blessing of Olam Haba, the good things of Olam Haba, vayitzavehu, and he commanded him, vayomer lo, lo tikach isha mibnot Kenan, and he said to him, don't take a wife from the daughters of Kenan. Lomar, sorry, let's go up here, lomar, which is to say, achar shekadosh ata, since you are holy, shehabirachah shel olam haba lechahi, because that the blessing of olam haba is yours. Al titameh, do not make yourself impure. Shelo tikach isha mibnot Kenan, that you should not take a wife from Kenan. V'kashel, sorry, v'kashel tirchak me'atumah, and when you distance yourself from impurity, hidabek b'tahara, cleave to purity. V'kum lech padena arah v'chulei, and go, get up, go to Lavan, and take yourself a wife. V'shema tomar, and if you will say, lest you will say, Yaakov, you're going to say to me, Im kadosh ani, if I am holy, lama egara mimcha shelo yatzata lechutz laaretz? If I'm holy, Yaakov could say to his father, why should I be less than you? You never went to chutz laaretz. By the way, if we read the story of Yitzchak, and that in itself would be a fascinating thing to do, to just study Yitzchak in isolation. When there's a famine in the land, Yitzchak plans to go to Mitzrayim, because that's where you go in a famine. There's always water in Egypt. And God stops him and he says, don't go to Mitzrayim. Stay here. Gur ba'aretz hazot, sojourn in this land. So Abba, you didn't go to Chutz La'aretz. If I'm holy, I also shouldn't go to Chutz La'aretz. They veil zugatcha po. They brought your match, they brought your shidduch to you here. Voti titzaveh lalechet lechutz la'aretz, and you command me to go to chutz la'aretz? Lazeh amar, that's why the text says, v'kach lecha misham isha, take for yourself from there a wife. Lomar, kach be'atzmecha misham, you should take a wife yourself from there. Lama shehu lecha, because that's what you have to do. Kilonit kadashta olah laHashem kamoni, you were not sanctified as a burnt offering to God as I was. Okay, so let's stop here. Okay, in other words, Yitzchak saying, and I find this Alshich quite interesting. When we look at the Avot and we study them in depth, we notice that each of them had a different spiritual path to follow. Yitzchak's spiritual path is connected to the Akedah and to who he is as a pure offering to God. And so he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. His bride is brought to him. He doesn't go and seek out his own bride. Yaakov might say, you're commanding me to be, you're giving me the blessings of Olam Haba, and you're telling me that I'm holy. Why am I not like you? Why do I have to leave? Notice, by the way, Yitzchak does not mention the idea that he has to run away from Esav. Rivka didn't say it to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak doesn't seem to be worried about that. Okay, so Yitzchak says, if that's what you think, v'yitachein, and it seems likely, ramaz lo ma'amaram zal, he was hinting to Yaakov, yesh holech etzel zivugo, v'yesh zivugo ba etzlo, shehu kefi sod ha'neshamot. Chazal say there are those who have to seek out, have to go to their match, to their shidduch, and there are those that their match comes to them. And that is according to the secret of the neshamot. The Al-Sheikh is a Kabbalist. I do not pretend to understand what this means exactly, but speaking in broad terms, people have different kinds of neshamot, different kinds of souls. And there are those whose souls require them to seek out their partner, and those who their souls would require their partner to come to them. Ve'amru kach al Yitzchak, and Chazal said this about Yitzchak, shezivugo ba'etzlo, hefech Yaakov, that his match, Rivka, came to him, which is the opposite of Yaakov. That's why Yitzchak says, and take for yourself. You have to take. Because to you it is fitting to go to your mate, which was not the case with me. And another reason, a second reason. Because I, Haitali Isha Misuyemet. I had a wife who was, okay, this is hard to translate. I'll say specific, okay? Kima'ama, okay, meaning I knew, my father knew who my wife was, right? Kima'ama Ramzal, as Chazal explained, Shenit Baser Avraham, Hine Nolda Batsugo Shel Yitzchak, Ki Hine Yalda Milka Vachule. At the end of the Akedah story, it says that Avraham finds out about the birth of daughters to Betuel. Ubetuel yaladet Rivka, and Betuel had a daughter called Rivka. And he understood by the timing of when he found out about the birth of Rivka, after the Akedah, he understood that this child was this Rivka is destined for Yitzchak. By the way, I mean, Rashi reads it as Rivka was 3 years old, but other sources say that Rivka had been born much earlier and Avraham only hears about it after the Akedah. So that Rivka, according to some opinions, was 14. According to other opinions, she was 20. But how do I put this? What Yitzchak is saying to, according to the Al-Sheikh, is saying to Yaakov is, it was clear who my bride was supposed to be, and so she could come to me. But you have to go and get somebody yourself. Achata ein bat zugech zugcha misuyemet. But you, your bat zug, your partner is not specified. Ki im kach lecha mibnot Laban. But rather, you should take from the daughters of Lavan, Shehi Achat Mehen, one of them. The Lonoda Ezo Mehen, he. And it is not known which of them she is, Lomal Shenishlach Achareha, to say that we should send for her. Now, this is also very kind of interesting. You think about Yaakov's relationship with his wives and the nature of his relationship with his wives. The only one of the Avot who has only one wife is Yitzchak. It's clear that Rivka is his predestined wife. He loves her. It's not said about Abraham and Sarah. It is said about Rachel, sort of. But with Yitzchak, it's clear who his wife is. You, Yaakov, have to go seek out your wife. And if you think about the complexity of the relationship there, which again, we're doing Yaakov and Esav, we're not just studying Yaakov. Had Yaakov not gone to Lavan, he might have married only one of Lavan's daughters. He ends up marrying both of Lavan's daughters, and each plays a very important role in Jewish history. Okay, now the Al-Sheikh goes on to the next piece, which is Pasuk Gimel, V'kel Shakai Yivarech Otcha, and Kel Shakai will bless you, and he will increase you. He will make you fruitful, and he will make you great, and you'll be a community of nations. The Kel Shakai v'chule. Haderech mima'etet gimul dvarim. Traveling diminishes three things. Mima'etet et ha'ma'on. It uses up your money. It diminishes your money. U'periyav v'reviya. And your fertility, Vashem, and it diminishes your name. Think about what a refugee, what happens to a refugee. Someone who's traveling from one place to another to be a stranger somewhere else loses financially, is less likely to have children, and loses his reputation. Od revi'it, there's a fourth thing, a fourth thing that, Yitzchak's words are meant to counteract. It would be possible that Yaakov would be very scared, which is actually, we will see when we look at their meeting after he comes back from Lavan's house. V'yi. Ki halo Esav nish'al be'eretz Yisrael. He could have worried, he could have been afraid that since Esav was not Esav remaining in Eretz Yisrael, v'hu ozev ota, and he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, pen tihye le'esav le'morasha, lest Eretz Yisrael become Esav's inheritance, ki ben Yitzchak hu gamke, because he was also a child of Yitzchak. In other words, you know, there's the son who moves away, leaves Eretz Yisrael, there's the son who stays in Eretz Yisrael. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe it'll end up that Esav will inherit Eretz Yisrael and not Yitzchak. Lachein lahalot aruchatchem. Therefore, in order to bring forth a cure, right? You know, cure all these four things that Yaakov would be worried about. Amar harishona yivarech otcha. He said about Yaakov's fear that he would not have money, he would lose financially. Hashem will bless you. On the second, that Yaakov would worry that he would not have children, he will make you fruitful and multiply. And his fear of losing his reputation, he said, you will be a congregation of peoples. Ki ein lecha shem gadol mizeh. There is no greater reputation or fame than that, right? If he will be, his descendants will be tribes that will be a confederation of peoples that will restore his reputation. Ve'al harvi'i, and for the fourth thing, his fear that he would lose Eretz Yisrael to Esav, Amal. Yitzchak says, v'yitein lecha et birkat Abraham. V'chule, he will give you the blessing of Abraham. Ve'ara'ya ki lo al Esav ne'emar, and the proof that this was not said about Esav, key is because halo lirishtechat eretz megurecha hu asher natan el Elokim l'Avraham. To inherit the land of your sojourning was what was given, what God gave to Abraham. He refers it back. Sorry. The Al-Sheikh doesn't see it as referring back to the blessings God gives Abraham in Lech Lecha, when he's leaving his father's house, but rather to brit bein haptarim, to the covenant that was made where Avraham was told that his children would be strangers in a strange land and they would be slaves and they would come back to Eretz Yisrael. He says that's birkat Avraham. How do we know that the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael will only go to Yaakov and not to Esau? Ki asher sovel ha-megurim v'ha-galut, because the person who suffers sojourning and exile, hu ha-yoresh, he's the inheritor. Masha'en ken Esav, which is not the case with Esav. Ki ein lo rak yishuv imunucha. Esav has only dwelling and rest. V'hu ki hineh le'Avraham ne'emar nachlat ha'aretz samruch l'omro ki ger yeh zaracha. But to Avraham it was said that the inheritance of the land was connected to the statement, your children will be strangers and slaves and will have to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So here the Alshich is saying the blessing of Avraham is the conditions for the permanent possession of Eretz Yisrael. The son of Yitzchak that will inherit Eretz Yisrael is the person who is willing to undergo suffering for the sake of coming back to the land. Okay, those are linked. It's by the way, if you think about this for just a moment, those are linked covenantally. Remember, Brit Ben Haptarim is a covenant. Right? It's actually covenantal. It was the experience of making a covenant. The covenant was conditional upon acceptance of exile, slavery, and suffering. And as we saw from our discussion of Esav rejecting the Bechorah, the birthright, Esav's not interested in that stuff. He wants what's here and now. He wants a good life in this world. He does not want to pay and be repaid in the future generations. Okay, let's go back to the Alshich. I want to leave some time for questions, but let's see if we can finish as much as we can finish here. Oh, Yomal. One second, let me see if we have to read this. Okay, yeah, let's read this here. Oh, another way to read it is, or Yomal shebercho b'chayei uvanei mezonei, we will say that Yitzchak blessed him with life and children and parnasa, with life, children, and a livelihood. And that is what it means when it says, and God will bless you, meaning you yourself. Dehainu, that is chayei, he will give you life. And he will make you fruitful and multiply. Hainu bane. That is to say, he'll give you children. Tzadikim. And since the main part of the blessing is that his children should be righteous, Amal, Yitzchak said, Vahayita lekahal amim. And you will have a congregation of peoples. He's focused on this phrase, a congregation of peoples, because it's a funny expression, right? Congregation is something we don't, you know. And peoples, what's peoples, right? Shehu, she'im she'yu mimenu amim. And that is that even though there will be different peoples, this refers to the tribal identities of the Jewish people, Kulam yihyu kahal echad. They will all be one community. Ma she'ein ken Esav Yishmael, which is not the case of with Esav and Yishmael, sheshum echad mehem lo nityached im echav lihiyot ushnehem kahal echad. The children of Esav and Yishmael, not one of them, came together with their brothers to be both of them one community. Ki im Yaakov shemitato shleima, only Yaakov, whose bed was full, meaning his output of children was complete. V'yitein lecha et birkat Avraham eretz zavat chalav udvash, haynu mezoneh. He will give you the blessing of Avraham, a land flowing with milk and honey, which is sustenance. So the way that the Alshich is reading this is that part of the blessing of Abraham is that all the tribes of Israel will come together to be one people, which is to say, a people that serves Hashem, one community, kahal amim, one congregation. Okay, let's stop here for a moment. I just want to see. We only have a little bit to do. We'll finish the rest of this next time, but I want to see if there are any questions. Any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're saying that the children of Yaakov will become one people, but not Esav and Ishmael. But we
Right.
never hear about their children, and we just know that Ishmael becomes the Arab nations, and Esav becomes Rome.
Well, no, if you look at the genealogies, they're quite long. You're not looking at the genealogies in the Torah. There are all sorts of nations that are mentioned coming both from Esav and Yishmael. Okay? It's not all one nation. No.
Okay.
They like spread out. They separate into different. Yeah. Some of those nations no longer exist. Right? Okay. Yes. Any other? Oh, so iPad Toronto raised his hand.
Okay, so when the 12 tribes divide into 10 and 2 or 9 and 3, depending on how you count it, that goes against this, that they come together. For most of our history, they were separated. It was only in the realm of two kings, Shaul and well, three kings, Shaul, David, and Shlomo, that they came together, which was a brief period. But most of the time they weren't together, and tribes were lost that way. The other thing is,
Well, so stop for stop, 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 stop for a second. This does not mean that there aren't ways that the Jewish people break up or split by virtue of their own actions, right? There are exit, there are places, there are ways to exit the Jewish people, but whoever remains a descendant of Yaakov, whoever remains a descendant of Yaakov, we're all part of the same nation. Or another way to put it might be this. First of all, it's a little more complicated. Some of the 10 tribes came back. It was more 2.5 tribes that were after Rishon and by Cheney. But yeah, there's no question that the Jewish people can do all sorts of terrible things to wreck themselves, but they start out as a community of nations. And even when we talk about the sons of Yaakov, and there is jealousy and there is infighting, this is not a guarantee that takes away Jewish free will. We can screw up. We
And
can
we
have a way
have.
out.
We've proven that point.
Yeah. Well, in the end, it's a matter of choice, right?
No, I love choice. I think that's a great thing. The other thing is, you
Whether you
said
love
that,
it or not, you got it, you know?
and I have to deal with it. You're right. The other thing you said that the way that Yaakov got the blessing was that he had to keep on earning it and proving it. And you have, and using that motif, so Abraham was a sojourner and he came from one place to another and he had his trials, which is a way of earning it. So Yitzchak didn't leave the land, but going through the Akedah is probably his way of earning it. So it fits kind of into that motif, whereas Esav, you're saying, didn't really do much. He just stood there and didn't grow and didn't earn anything.
I think Aesop is not interested in the whole issue. He's interested in Aesop, which, sababa. Let me put it this way. Abraham certainly seeks God out. Yitzhak faces many tests, and one of them is not leaving Eretz Yisrael when there's a famine. Like you would be, I would imagine you would think the smartest thing to do is get out of Eretz Yisrael and go where there's food. He passes a lot of tests. His avodah is different. His service with God is different. Yaakov doesn't, it's not just that Yaakov has to keep earning it. Yaakov, sure he's honest with himself all the time. He has to be honest with himself. He has to always know that he's not entitled to what he has.
Okay, and it's good to earn it. When the famine happened and they went down to Egypt the first time to buy food, was Yitzhak still alive?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Is Yitzchak? No, I don't think so. At that point, I don't. Oh, wait, no, he's alive. He is alive for part of the time when Yosef is in Mitzrayim. I don't remember the exact dates. I'd have to check that.
Because then you could question how good a son Yaakov was if you never hear him concerned about his father and what food he's getting.
No, I'm sure he took care of his father. I don't think that's the issue. But I don't remember when we know that when Yosef goes to Mitzrayim, Yitzchak was still alive. There's a long Rashi that gives all the dates. I don't remember it. I don't remember it. Okay,
Okay,
any other
thank you.
questions? Any other questions? Okay, so we're going to be starting to wrap up. We're going to be talking about we'll finish this last little section here. Then we're going to be talking about what happens when the brothers encounter each other again at the end of Yaakov's exile to the house of Laban. And there's a lot on that to talk about too. Okay, everybody, Chanukah Sameach and Besorot Tovot. We should have good news always. Okay.